There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
After the hour, let's start the week off on a positive note here. We've got it's a big week, Angel. We're recovering from the weekend that was. We saw the national championship game on the women's side of things. And have the ratings came out for that yet? I'll be curious to see when those come out and then compare them to tonight's men's national championship game. But I think even the diehard media people that have followed women's basketball the past 20, 30 years will tell you that this season, and you know, kind of paired with last season too, was, I mean, the ratings speak for themselves. This was the best year. And I want to get into some of that. It was a really good game until, you know, just late in that one. Iowa's kind of forcing things, and even Caitlin Clark is just trying to throw it up, see if he can make a quick comeback there. But South Carolina gets the dub. Dawn Staley talking about her the perfect season for the Gamecocks. I thought the way she handled her post-game stuff was really cool, and you know, she paid homage to Caitlin Clark the right way. Here's Dawn Staley, South Carolina women's basketball head coach.
One more thing. I really would just like to say that I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome. Awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
I thought that was really well done there, because Angel, the reason it's important, I don't know how much you've been paying attention to it, but you know, the social media back and forth, the bashing of Caitlin Clark, and you know, if you're a diehard fan of Caitlin Clark, then you're bashing other people, you're bashing other players. I'm like, man, they're eating their own. This is like a great year, a celebration type year. If you're a women's basketball player, you should be thanking Caitlin Clark, because she's paving the way now for more press, for more coverage. This has been insane. And I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that I watched more than 10 college women's basketball games this year. I didn't. I'll be honest. But those, like, they're NHLing it, Angel. You know what that means? When you get guys like me, I don't follow hockey as close as I do the other three. And then you start talking about hockey, and then you get the NHL guy, the hockey guy, that rips you for talking about it because you're not as educated. But then when you don't talk about it, they rip you for that too. Don't do that, women's basketball beat writers and reporters, because you just, all you do is deter people from wanting to talk about your game. So there were a ton of those reporters coming out saying, I love all these brand new fans and media people to college women's basketball saying that Caitlin Clark is the best and she's revolutionized college sports and women's basketball. Clearly, you haven't watched. You don't know the greats. They post pictures of certain greats over the last 20 years. If you can't name this person, you have no business talking about it. See, that's NHL-ing it. That's not the league. You know, that's what the fans and the beat writers and the diehard reporters do is they want to go, oh, welcome to the bandwagon. It's like there was no bandwagon, bro. I mean, it just appeared out of thin air. The fact that everybody's talking about this, and Staley and Clark and Reese and Mulkey and all these big time personalities now, it's because you got there. The ratings speak for themselves. I mean, you're seeing the ratings coming out. I'm looking at it last night. Yesterday, I'm sitting there. We were watching something, had something, I was blanked out. Oh, that's right. We got to get over to the Women's National Championship game. Wouldn't have done that 2 years ago. I would not have done that 2 years ago. I would have probably stayed on and watched the Rockies lose or whatever. But that's, you know, again, my sports upbringing, what I focus on this program, what my listeners, our listeners have come to know. But so don't be that person. Enjoy this. This was a big deal. And so for Staley to come out and say, you know, you carried a heavy load throughout the course of the season. That packed a punch because she acknowledges that Caitlin Clark being so good but also controversial, complaining at the refs and things like that, started to catch fire. And then you had the naysayers that are, she's not the best, she's not the greatest, what are you talking about? That is uncharted territory. I'm sorry, but nationally, the discussions of over who's the best college women's basketball player, those aren't typically heated debates, are they? I mean, how many heated debates do you hear when you get on my show or any show in the state or the country? Skip Bayless's argument show, Shannon Sharpe's argument show. How often did they get on there and design their show around arguing over whether or not Caitlin Clark's the GOAT if she doesn't win a championship or not? Like, that stuff wasn't happening, and now it is. But that's new, and there's a lot of vitriol. There's a lot of trolls on the social medias that are coming out of nowhere and ripping each other to shreds, and it's a battle back and forth, and that's new. And Caitlin Clark's the one that's really experiencing that, and I'm not wrong on that. You can go back and look at ratings from a game 2 years ago. It's going to be nothing compared to what we've seen. Well, certainly this year, and then the Elite Eight, the Final Four, the championship game, and then back last year in the championship game, all those ratings were groundbreaking. So I really like the fact that Dawn Staley stood up and said that, and they went undefeated. I mean, South Carolina looks. I mean, they were good. It's some big players, man. Just out-muscled Iowa in that game, especially down the stretch. And then you had the controversial call in the Final Four game, moving screen or whatever.
Going off of your point of how, you know, just in the last year that women's college basketball has become more popular, and I think the only women's college basketball I really knew of before was UConn's team that won, like, 80-something games in a row, like a couple, like 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Angel Reese stuff and the LSU stuff sparked up a lot of talk last year that was kind of, okay, that got my attention for a little bit, and we'll see what happens. And then Caitlin Clark becomes the story in sports in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Outside of Super Bowl and NBA stuff. She's up there. A name that I hadn't heard of before, and now she's everywhere on social media, and she's doing stuff that's crazy for the game. She's scoring points. She's shooting Lillard type of three-pointers, and she has elevated the game to where it's become more popular and more people are, you know, interested in watching it. I'll tell you, my Friday night, I was watching the Final Four for women's basketball.
Yeah.
I was playing video games, but I had it up on my laptop, and I'm saying, hey, wait, time out real quick. I want to watch this quarter here for a second. Oh, did you see what's going on? And me and my friends were talking like, oh, do you know this Stanford player, this LSU player, this UConn player, whoever? And I'm like, we're having a sports conversation about sports I knew nothing about 6 months ago.
Well, and you had one of the more controversial calls in sports this year.
Yeah.
Was it a moving screen or not? And on it goes, the UConn player.
Kind of to my point I made last week was, okay, now you're in this realm of it's just sports talk now.
Yep, right.
We've had those conversations with NBA, NFL, any kind of, oh, that was a, you can't call it there, that was a good call, bad call, whatever. But now we're having that conversation without the, oh, but it's women's basketball. No.
None of that's
it's there. Basketball, and we're arguing about the refs.
No, this was like, I mean, you go look at comments and some of the venom, excuse me, coming out about Caitlin Clark and the fan base and all that, you would go, I mean, nobody's acknowledging it. Angel, you know the trolls that get on the beginning of the season, maybe 2 years ago, or they post, hey, WNBA season starts whenever, and you see all the trolls, right? You see the people get on there and comment their funny things, and, well, maybe they're not funny, they're sexist, whatever. This was just a sports debate. This was, is Caitlin Clark really the GOAT? And is she the GOAT if she doesn't win this thing? That what you're exactly right. This turned into a sports debate, but that's new. They were must-see television, not just Iowa, LSU, South Carolina, UConn. There were a lot of teams that were being celebrated as this is just sports. And I'm trying to be reasonable here and logical and fair. This was not the case 2 years ago. This was not the case, probably not even the case at the beginning of the year this year, or the beginning of the season, or the beginning of the season last year. And you can get on diehard beat writer and post pictures of players that you covered for 20 years and say, if you don't know who this is, you can't weigh in on the debate. Then say goodbye to everybody that watched. All those ratings were not just college women's basketball fans.
Well, and it works in the context of sports because I'll tell you, I didn't start watching NFL till like 2013, like watching every single Sunday, watching primetime games. And I don't have a lot of knowledge from 2000 to 2010's NFL football. But there's respect there, and it's, oh, okay, I can still look at Mahomes and say, yeah, he's probably one of the best quarterbacks ever.
It doesn't make you wrong or right.
The tail end of Brady's career.
Yeah.
And I can still say, yeah, he was great, but Mahomes is right there.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon to be able to go back and look at stats, to also hear, you know what they say, if your speedometer's broken on the interstate and you get pulled over and you tell the police officer, I don't know how fast I was going, the speedometer was broken, and they say, just go with the flow of traffic, bro. That's what you do. We all go with the flow of traffic when we get to sports that we don't know about. And so the flow of traffic would tell you that Caitlin Clark is changing the game. She's doing what Tiger Woods did in golf. And if you want to, the haters of Tiger Woods back in the day brought up all the golfers before him. No, if you think Tiger's the greatest, look back at all these people. No, you know what you see. And Caitlin Clark is in that territory. Texter here from the Weld County Swami. Even Brittany Griner years weren't like this. Griner was just bigger than everyone. Clark is more talented. Yeah, when you see what Clark did and does in the games, it feels a lot like a Lillard, Steph Curry type thing, that she could be dribbling it down. Look, boom, there's a shot. Like, that is a tremendous skill set. And she should be honored for that. Let's see, Dixon. Oh, we were talking about the illegal screen. 100% textbook illegal screen. From what I saw, going back, watching the video, slow motion, fast motion, over and over and over and over and over again, I couldn't get around it. It was an illegal screen. It was a moving screen. Dixon says she slid a step and a half, was moving and extended her arms outside her framework and displaced Marshall. Most people agree it was illegal. They're just upset about the timing. And see, this is where I go off. I know I've said it before, so I'm going to sound like a big hypocrite. But the whole, you can't call that there. There are plays that are 50-50. Was it really a foul? I guess it could have been, but it also could not have been. You can't call that there. I'm standing up for myself on that. This was not a 50-50. She's dragging her foot in the screen, Angel. So to say you can't call that there, should there be a time limit on the clock up there that says, crunch time, fouls will not be called, illegal activity will not be called? The ones that are acknowledging that it was a moving screen, just leave it at that, because I've never liked the argument of, was it a foul or not? Yeah, it was, but they can't call that there. If your reply is, yeah, could have gone either way. Then we'll talk. Let's sit down and have a coffee and have a conversation about it. But if you're telling me, which most people are saying, it was an illegal screen, then yeah, you can call that there.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it was a good call, legal screen, all that. The timing of it, it's sports. That happens. Weird flags, weird penalties happen at odd times, and it's, oh, you can't, the common phrase is, oh, you can't call that there. But yes, they can, and they have to. That's their job. But also, I understand the thought of you don't want the refs to decide the game because they didn't have a chance to really rebuttal a score there.
I guess, but it was just, to me, it was such a lengthy leg move to move
in
the moving screen.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
But I understand the thought of, oh, you can't let the refs decide the game right there in the last 10 seconds. I get that, but also the foul is the foul. They have to call it.
I've never been really the one. I try to refrain from going at a ref like that in almost every aspect of sports. There are times I do it, but I really try not to and say, hey, you can't let the ref affect the game there. Da, 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 don't call it. I'm never a fan of, we all agree that it was the right call, but you didn't want them to call it. When should they not make calls?
Well, I think it's more just, I don't think that's like the actual, oh, they shouldn't just call it, but it's like, oh, man, you can't do that.
I think some are like that, like, oh,
like, that's just a bummer.
I wish they would have missed that one.
You know, I wish they would have at least had a shot at the, like, if they had made the shot and missed it, then okay, whatever.
Trust me, everybody wants to see, you know, unless you're an Iowa fan, I guess, diehard Iowa, but you want to see a good game. I'm tuning in because I want to see good games. I was watching yesterday, and my wife's like, well, who are you even rooting for? I was like, I honestly don't care who wins, because you got South Carolina who's undefeated, and that would be a cool story. And then, you know, they're trying to redeem themselves from last year. And then you got the Caitlin Clark story and Iowa and everything they've done. It would put an exclamation point on her career. But I didn't care. I wanted it to be a good game. And for the most part, that was a good game. The UConn game, that was a good game too. On that game, I didn't really care. I mean, yeah, they kind of rooting for Iowa because you want to see greatness.
I was rooting for UConn.
Because you don't want to see greatness, Angel.
No, but it's like, okay, let's see if someone else can. Let's see the other side of the story where it's, oh, everyone loves Caitlin Clark. She's America's hero. Let's go in and beat her.
Well, this is actually better for the game. I will say that South Carolina winning was better for the game because Caitlin Clark stole all the headlines this year. She was the one. The next most talked about was Angel Reese and LSU and Mulkey. Then it was South Carolina and Dawn Staley. So for them to now, okay, Caitlin's got all the popularity, bam, 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 beat the giant. And South Carolina was the giant. They were the better team. But perception-wise, Iowa was the one. Caitlin Clark is the Michael Jordan of college women's basketball. So we can beat her in her final game as a collegiate basketball player. That's going to, bam, South Carolina's just thrust into the spotlight. So actually, I think the best outcome, that's what you want. Not necessarily, it's not an underdog story. South Carolina didn't lose a game. But it's the underdog as far as the media attention. And South Carolina winning that game goes to show you that, okay, you can have the most dominant player in all of college basketball and women's basketball. That doesn't mean you're going to be the best. Doesn't mean you're going to be the best team. You know, a lot of times you look at stud players on the women's side of things, and they can do whatever the hell they want. They just run the show. But I think the fact that South Carolina won was actually a good thing for this sport. Let's see how they followed up, because now they got to take the other gals coming up, and they got to blow those up. You know, they got to make them bigger, larger than life, just like, you know, it's not like they made Caitlin Clark, but they capitalized off of it. You know, Iowa, you know, you're talking about some of the other players that were getting, like Marshall, she was getting a lot of love this year. People were interviewing her all the time. They adored her. And so she kind of, pretty good player, but without Iowa and Caitlin Clark, she would just be people that, you know, a lot of diehards know about. But she became kind of a darling of college basketball because of the popularity surrounding Caitlin Clark. So now you got to take advantage of that now. You got to grow it. You got to use that to grow the ratings, everything, because these were good games. You know, I'm still going to watch a men's basketball game over a women's basketball game, but I also like the drama, and the drama surrounding Clark and Angel and even South Carolina to an extent was probably more fun than what we've seen in the men's game on the drama side. The game-wise, I'm more entertained by the men's game.
Oh, and I think that's, you know, I don't know if that's as strong of an argument anymore because, you know, I watch the games and it's, yeah, it's different. The play style is just different. The bodies are different, whatever. But you can still enjoy it as a sport. It's like, you know, if you're watching the UFL this weekend and you kind of like it, but it's kind of gimmicky or kind of goofy, and it's, this is football, but it's not NFL football.
Right.
It's not even college football. But it's not going to be, oh, you don't like the UFL? You're some kind of football purist?
Yeah.
Meh. It's like, no, it's just, it's a different game.
It's a different game.
You can enjoy it.
You don't have the personalities. You don't know all of them. Some of the ones you do know are past their NFL prime. And so it's just, it's different. They're in that weird in-between. Not even really an in-between, kind of on the out, because they're not college up and coming, and they're not they haven't arrived at the NFL. This is the aftertimes for this. And if you're into it, you're into it.
Well, I think with women's college basketball in the next year, talk about, okay, how do you keep this going? I think there's going to be some kind of drop-off, obviously, without Caitlin Clark. There's still names out there that people will be drawn to. But the response to that can't be, oh, you only liked it for a year because of one player. It has to be, okay, you didn't like that. You don't like because Caitlin Clark's not in the league anymore. Okay, well, here's a new player to watch. The response to a bit of drop-off needs to be handled correctly.
And you know, a lot of that falls on the players, too. Who is going to take that baton and run with it and sprint with it? Because Caitlin Clark scoring, I mean, she had 30 points in that game. She didn't have one of her best shooting nights for a while. She did. She couldn't miss. She was ridiculous. I mean, Iowa was running the show for a little bit. But it was a lot of fun. And good for them. And good for Dawn Staley. I mean, she was so emotional after they won. And she's who I think she's a good reporter. I can't think of her name. But who interviewed Dawn Staley right after the game? She's like, you're more emotional than usual. Why is that? I was like, what? She just completed an undefeated season, won the national championship, and she beat the face of college basketball. Why else would she be emotional? I mean, yeah, I'd probably be in the same boat, man. I mean, that's a different kind of crying than Caleb Williams, by the way. That's different, you know. We can talk about that all day. We're going to get into the draft. We're going to the Chipper's Lanes poll question of the day is Broncos related. If they stand pat, if the Broncos sit at 12, stay at 12, and these three guys are available, Brock Bowers, who has the best name in the history of the world, Bo Nix, close second, or Michael Penix Jr., interesting, not top five names. Who are you taking with that pick? That is a scenario, Angel, I didn't think we were going to be faced with. I honestly didn't think Brock Bowers was going to fall into the outside of the top 10. I mean, even the top seven. But the way this thing is going, the way the narrative is going, the way these teams are more, the teams that we kind of had on the maybe bubble, they were like, oh, okay, now, like the Giants, ownership is giving the Giants the green light to draft a quarterback. And that was kind of a maybe there. So a lot of the maybes have turned into, there's a good chance that a lot of these teams are going to take quarterbacks with Chicago, Washington, the Patriots. Somebody could trade up and get four. The Giants now. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are in the mix for a quarterback, so Bowers could drop. So on my Twitter poll, if you guys want to get involved in this, at Hull Show, poll question of the day. If these players are there at 12 and Denver stays put, who should they take? Penix Jr., Bo Nix, or Brock Bowers? 44% of the Hulligans are saying Bo Nix. Those are probably going to be, I mean, there's a good chance all three of those guys are available, Angel. I know Penix, his stock is going up, but there is a decent chance that all three are there. All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Now, the good for me, I'm going to say, well, the Nuggets obviously smoked Atlanta. But it was Jamal Murray getting back into the mix. You know, it felt like he might go the night before. We weren't quite sure. Michael Malone was pretty positive he would go against Atlanta. And he did. He played 21 minutes. He had 16 points, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds. Nothing to write home about, but also not bad. Kind of a typical Jamal Murray type of game, not a playoff Murray type of game. So it was good to see him there. Bonus good. Another triple-double for the Joker in kind of a weird night of shoot. He was 6 of 13. He had 19 points, 11 assists, and 14 boards. It was nice to see Peyton Watson. Peyton Watson is pushing hard, man. He had 13 points in that game, but 5 blocks. Bring that intensity. They just absolutely worked Atlanta, 142 to 110. The bad for me, the Avs lose a tough one. Difficult all the way around to the Stars. And we knew that was going to be a big game for the Avs. One of the bigger games, if not probably the biggest game of the season. I don't even think there's a probably about it. But the Avs struggled. Georgie struggled. Dallas just, they were out for blood. They win 7-4. They got the lead early, up 2-1, then outscored the Avs 3-2, maintained that throughout, won the game 7-4, and Thomas Harley was, you know, he was moving that puck around, man. 3 assists for him. The ugly Rockies, only 3 series in, Angel, but they have lost all 3 series. All three series at this stage. They are 2-8 to start the year. And it's certainly they were more competitive in this series. There were good things you can take from it. I mean, they only lost 3-2 yesterday, and then 8-6. I thought they were going to rally. Was that Saturday? They did rally in a big way Friday. That was exciting. That was awesome. It wasn't awesome how it got there. But only 2 wins for the Rocks at this stage. And they got the Diamondbacks tonight. So they're going to play the Diamondbacks a lot. That could be another tough series for the Rocks. And they are firmly planted in the bottom of the NL West standings at 2-8. And San Francisco's 4-6.
Miami got their first win.
So
there's no longer any winless teams.
Yeah.
But now you're starting to say, oh, I hope Miami doesn't win more, because then you're sitting at 2 wins.
Well, isn't April supposed to be our, like, you know, we're oblivious to the world? It's like the Rockies are 8-2. They're never going to lose. It's amazing. It's awesome. Just wait for May and June. Well, we're not even going to do that.
Well, maybe they're flipping the script.
Maybe they flip it, and April's a bad month, but the rest of the summer is actually awesome. That would be cool. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to give a shout out to the real good of the show, and this is great. I can't put it in the good category. Bruce Dick of Coach Speak won over the weekend the Colorado Broadcasters Association for the best talk show sports coverage in a major market. Congratulations, Bruce. That is an awesome deal. We were fortunate enough. We got here at the whole show, we got the certificate of merit. So if you're going to, you know, be runner-up to somebody, might as well be Bruce Dick. He's one of the best humans out there. But come on, dude. He wins awards every freaking 5 seconds now. He's in the Hall of Fame. He gets the most. He's in the top whatevers, 4 or 5, and the winningest coaches of Colorado basketball coaching history. I mean, does it ever stop for that guy? He just keeps winning things. So congratulations to Bruce. Well, he'll be back tomorrow, I believe tomorrow, or maybe Wednesday, because he was Final Four in it all weekend, and he's got the national championship game tonight. So, I mean, life's pretty sweet for Coach Bruce Dick. 34 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
With so many great sports going on, Angel, it's just, you know, I love, especially as the weather's getting, although this weekend just was awful, was terrible. The wind made me so sad and angry. But the nice weather is upon us. Going out or grabbing a beer, whether you're sitting out listening to the Rockies games or the Preps games that we have or Nuggets and Avs games on KFK outside on the patio, or you're inside chilling out. Grab something from On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. They are a huge sponsor of mine. I love working with these people. John and Tony, husband and wife duo. They're half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Talk to them about the free wine and beer tastings that they have every single Friday. There you can try something new. Maybe you're in the mode to try something new. It's, you know, still new year, new you kind of thing. You're getting into the changing of the season, so also the beverages change a little bit. They're going to have you covered, man. They're going to gear you up with your spring and summer beverages. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. I'm not going to get too deep into this one, Angel, but I thought the question was weird. South Carolina's Dawn Staley was asked, what, a night before the national championship game or two nights before or 2 days before, whatever. She was asked about transgender athletes and whether or not they should be allowed to play. I mean, I just, like, why? She actually calls out the reporter two questions later and says, look at you, trying to get me to say something that's going to have one side go after me and the other side, you know, lift me up. Here's how she answered that question. She was asked at the news conference. It was the day before. It was the day before the national championship game. She was asked her opinion on transgender athletes being able to compete in women's sports. She said this: I'm of the opinion that if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. Now, Angel, you can take that so many different ways, right? I actually think, I don't know if she was calculated with it, but I think she answered it the best way possible in that setting without getting too many people on one side to freak out, because she didn't necessarily say transgenders should not play, transgender women should not play women's sport. She said, if you consider yourself a woman. Now, Angel, I'm older than you. Back in the day, if you say, if you consider yourself a man or if you consider yourself a woman, that was a turn of a phrase. That was just, she skated by on that one, I thought. She didn't elaborate too much, but I thought she answered it in the best way. But why are we asking that question? I have more of an issue today with that question the night before the national championship game.
Well, it's, hey, you're on this podium, you're in the public eye, we need to get a comment on you, and because we live in such an absolute society, it has to be a yes or no, or a fully endorse or fully against. And I think, you know, her answer's pretty well in the middle, but you're going to see headlines say, oh, she's fully supportive and right, blah, blah, blah. And then there's going to be headlines say, oh, women's college basketball doesn't support this, so we need to boycott and nah, 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 over all of it.
Yeah, and again, she says, if you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports, you should be able to play. Well, yeah, you should be able to play sports. I agree. Everybody should be able to play sports. I think everybody should be able to play sports. Now, what level, what team, that's all up for debate, man. But I do think that people, yes. But that certainly is a hot button topic that I'm not prepared to jump into today. I have my thoughts on it. I think I've talked a little bit about it on my program. But I was more miffed at the question. You know, she's like, you know, I'm more focused on the game. I understand that it's a topic that people are interested in, but today my focus is on the game. Tomorrow, my players. And then Iowa coach she said the same thing. She didn't give in at all. The Iowa coach was like, I'm more focused on the game and my players. Basically the same kind of stuff. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day. Who you taking at 12? Let's assume in this scenario that the Broncos are staying put. They're not going to move around. They're not going to move draft picks anymore. They're just going to stay with the hard-earned 12 that they got throughout the course of last season. Are you taking Bo Nix at quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback, or are you taking this Brock Bowers, this tight end that everybody thinks is going to be the next big-time tight end? And the Broncos haven't really had a history of that. They had Shannon Sharp, Hall of Famer. But outside of that, what are we talking about? Julius Thomas? Dwayne Carswell? I mean, I'd have to go back, way back before the 90s, early 90s. Sharp was drafted in 1990 out of Savannah State. I think he was drafted. Maybe he was undrafted. But before that, you'd have to go far. Because there's not a lot of consistently great tight ends that have played for the Broncos. Julius Thomas was really good in like that three-year window with Peyton Manning throwing him the football. But outside of that, tight end's been scary. So do you go for that guy who might be there? Good chance he's going to be there at 12. We'll talk more about that on the other side. 44 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Brock Bowers. Is he the guy for the Denver Broncos at number 12? You know, that I'm shocked that he has dropped, and I don't even know if it's fair to say he's dropped, Angel. I think it's the quarterback stock has just continued to soar, and with a lot of these teams making those decisions right now about the future of their football team, people are desperate for quarterbacks. Now, Brock Bowers in his career was at Georgia was spectacular. Those are very good numbers. 56 receptions, 714 yards last year, 6 touchdowns. In 2022, 63 receptions, 942 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And then his first year with Georgia, 56 receptions, 882 yards, and 13 touchdowns. So, and the build's there. I mean, he just looks the part. 6'4", 240 pounds. Do you take him at 12? I mean, I just look at the history of this, of the Broncos. There's Shannon Sharp and there's everybody else. Sharp's a Hall of Famer. 3-time Super Bowl winner, one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. But outside of that, it hasn't been great. You know, Riley Odoms is the name I got on the text line. Riley Odoms played for the Broncos, what, in the 70s? Julius Thomas played for the Broncos, really good chunk of Manning's, most of Manning's time there. And he was good in that moment, and then he left, and he wasn't so hot anymore. Where'd he go to Miami? I think he went to Miami after. No, where'd he go after?
Jacksonville.
Is it Jacksonville? He went to Jacksonville? Okay. I knew it was in Florida, Angel. I got that part. Tony Scheffler? Scheffler was good. Wasn't Scheffler one of Josh McDaniel's victims? Daniels shipped him out. Billy Masters, Owen Daniels. I got an Owen Daniels reference. Jacob Tammy, kind of the same dude. Virgil Green gave him a nice contract at one point. Joel Dreesen. Joel Dreesen should probably be higher up on a lot of people's lists. CSU guy, but he didn't play for Denver that long. I think he played, what, one season, two seasons? You just haven't had a rich history there. You can't base a draft pick off of your lack of history, though. You can't necessarily do that unless we're talking quarterback, because we know that position changes everything. Is Brock Bowers the kind of tight end that would make a Jarrett Stidham good? Or do you still want to try to go for a quarterback that makes everybody else good? Who you taking at 12? Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., or Brock Bowers at tight end? And listen, there are other options. There are other holes the Broncos need to fill. But those are the three names, I think, that have really started to separate themselves from the pack when it comes to the Broncos. Flying Dutchman says, and then we'll break, I think the Broncos have so many holes, they should package the pick and trade back. But if they're going to pick at 12, take the best available lineman. O-lineman?
I'll pass. I'll pass on that. They spent a lot of money on O-line last year. Let's just hope they get better. 51 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
So I was just looking at some stats, Angel. Does the tight end make the quarterback sometimes, or does the quarterback always make the tight end? Now, let's just look at Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce in his career, 900, he's a Hall of Famer. Whenever it's said and done, he's a Hall of Famer. 907 receptions for him, over 11,000 yards, 74 touchdowns. Those are monster numbers. I think he's the best tight end to ever do it. When he was in 2014, his first full season with the Chiefs, he had 67 catches for 862 yards, 5 touchdowns. So my argument's booming right now. Oh, that was with Alex Smith, wasn't it? Oh, he was all right. You know, that's good. Those are good numbers. That's all right. Next year, about the same. 72, 875, 5 touchdowns. He's just a good tight end. He's just a reliable tight end. We'd take that in Denver in a heartbeat. That kind of guy. 2016, still Alex Smith, right? 85 receptions for 1,100 yards, only 4 touchdowns. My argument's getting cracked here a little bit because he was getting better. Alex Smith was still the quarterback. 2017 was Alex Smith's final year, I believe. With the Chiefs, 83 receptions, still not cracking the 100 mark, but another 1,000 yards for him, 8 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes steps in, and the numbers do go up quite a bit. Not like an alarming rate, but the numbers are big. In 2018, Travis Kelce caught 103 passes, first time in his career over 100. His high in yards, 1,336. That was nearly 200 yards beyond his other high in 2016. That year, though, he had 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns. So the touchdowns went up. So let's go through his numbers. Let's look at a guy like Kittle's numbers. If Brock Bowers comes in, couldn't he elevate a guy? I mean, what are we talking about here? Jared Stidham for a year. The tank is still on. So I don't need big time numbers. But if you get Brock Bowers and then you're in the mix for a quarterback the next year, does that make you feel pretty good about your situation? Sean Payton, how does he fare with tight ends? Let's talk about all that coming up in the second hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.